string in there, and then tipped it over, so you get this sort of splash of gold pigment on the floor. This okay, I haven't got a pointer. This is a kind of bungee hanging down that was part of this. I bought a trolley when I was there, and I went by train, so I could carry as much stuff really back as possible. But I also quite, you know, like the time. I mean, the time spent going there was quite good. So there's a kind of crate and a pine cone, and I put my foot through the crate and an Italian newspaper and some. Then there the other bits of wood from the crate and some earphones I went on one of those tour buses. You know those tour buses, which is quite fantastic actually. Don't know if it's the sort of thing I wouldn't really do normally, but it was great because they kept talking about things just as you went past. You know, there was this sort of disconnect between the voiceover and the description. I mean, and actually where you were. That's fantastic. Anyway, there's another magnifying glass at the top, sort of right on top of a postcard, a dictionary, some sort of foliage and an envelope or something, and some other glitter, things like that. A cobble that I found, some other bits of tile. I bought that trowel, some gravel on top of some more postcards, some in the foreground there's rubbish from, you know, eating stuff, and one of those giant Rome pencils kind of pierced through it. There's that paper bag, had lots of all the paper bags I put inside one another, with a bit of gold braiding hanging down I think it's a crucifix hanging into it. This, it looks slightly out of focus again, but that I bought a bag of grout because I thought I'd better have some building materials. Which I then mixed up in the bag and kind of put this gold leaf, sort of cheap decorative, you know, fragments of gold leaf through the top, and then the remains of that became this sort of poo-like object that's underneath a pile of plant pamphlets that I picked up over time. Bottle of water with again a Corinthian column. I mean, what are they called? It's not a column, it's the bit at the top, Corinthian bit. I forgot what it's called.
Capital,
that's the word, thank you. And some gladiators and both Roman and 21st century. You can't see the 21st, it's sort of tucked around the back. So a bit like that. Okay. That's interesting. That was that. And maybe I put this in the wrong place. Let's have a look at the next one. Yeah. These overlap, these projects, that's why. This is... So I took this... I was then invited to, curiously, do an installation or project at the Poetry Society in London. Not chasing down the poetry connection, but this sort of thing started to happen. And I decided to invade the Poetry Society. I don't know if anyone knows it, but I decided to invade it with Rome. I'm going to go out of the... If I can. It's not letting... Oh, yeah. I'm going to go out of this for a second. It's online, but we can't... Probably no, you can't get internet access here. So I'm going to play this this slideshow while I'm talking. So basically, there are three spaces in the Poetry Society. There's this space, which is the they call it the studio. They use it for workshops. I don't know if this is going to work. This is the basement, which is used for poetry readings and work and other sort of you can book a poetry sort of seminar with a poet and things like that. That's basically the staircase that leads from, they've got a ground floor cafe, so that's the basement staircase up to the cafe, and then the studio's on the first floor, and that the studio's more of a private space. So it's not an art space. It's very much not an art space. The cafe's open to the general public. The loos are downstairs, so people are going in and out, and you can sit downstairs and have tea if you want. So that's a better shot of the studio upstairs. So basically, I was finding as many different ways of invading this space with Rome as I could. And I was interested in this idea of this kind of, you know, art as an artist going into this non-art but cultural space, and like trying to create some kind of fake unification or something through a kind of imposition. I mean, I suppose I see, you know, in some ways art, I mean, it's mentioned on the flyer about these ideas of territory and claiming, and you know, there's many ways in which I think of art relates to a sort of imperialist idea, which, you know, at the same time is horrific and horrendous, and how, as an artist, how I negotiate that relationship. It's still there, it's always going to be there. If I put something in, you know, and demand someone's attention, what do I then do with that? It's moving quite quickly through. So what I did was put all these things out into the space, and then very quickly found that things were being taken away or moved or destroyed or thrown in, or I'd find them somewhere else. So it wasn't a safe place for my work, as it were, which was quite, you know, in terms of the project and what I was interested in, that was quite good in a way, because I then had to negotiate this sort of, you know, in my terms, that then became, if I'm invading, then that becomes a kind of ambush in a sense, and the military rhetoric is extended, and then I'm having to redeploy my objects in different places and stage with, you know, ultimately I was kind of layering things up, and then eventually, when also the Poetry Society then decided they were going to redecorate in the middle of this whole thing, when I'd been drawing on the wall and doing all sorts of stuff, it was kind of like, okay, I'll just sort of remove myself from this situation as much as, and I, at a certain, so I, that's the other thing. I was also creating, these aren't those, these are kind of just, these are signs, like sort of giant signs you'd find in a museum context. So it was referencing that as well, and Rome as a living museum, and this place as a functioning space. But I also made memorials to the things that disappeared. Where is one? We've seen one already. And it's gone. And these dots were a bit like a kind of, you know, a sort of dot, dot, dot around the space as a sort of continuation of this, of everything that I was putting in there, and a link to other things. So that's a section of a running track that goes through the space as well. Quite like a memorial. So the running track starts to be eroded, and then I repair that as well. And then these are fragments of pots that I covered with other bits of clay, and they crack. That's the first thing I did, was put in a continental adapter as a kind of a sort of attempt to you know, convert the place really quickly. And of course that was the first thing to go missing. Another trowel, Italian flag, an image of some travertine, just to get that in there. Some photocopied covers of books that I saw. They had these kind of quite strange shelves with poetry magazines, so I infiltrated that. There's some early Roman designs, decorative designs around the place. So this dot, dot, dot was also, I mean, it was a bit like a kind of gunfire thing around it as well, but it served to link things up. These are flags that I hung in the cafe. They had, I mean, I'm not particularly anti-Gerald Scarfe, but he'd made these quite horrendous lampshades that were in the cafe that really, and so the flags were also a device to try and cover those up, but they also got removed. So this is gone. Yeah. So I think this is where I'm starting to remove elements and give it sort of, in a way, giving up. But that remove, you know, obviously in relation to Rome and things, disappearing or being layers coming over, or there's the remnants of stuff that was there before. It was kind of totally consistent with them.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Who was doing the removing? Was it just members of the public?
Yeah.
Or what?
It was members of the public, and then things like, I kept hanging a trowel at the end there, and I think when people were doing poetry readings, they took it down, or they might move, because each evening this basement space, I mean, it was a nightmare place to do an installation, really. The basement space was used for poetry readings. So I think some of it was the cleaner, some of it was members of the cafe staff who were trying to help at a certain point, to early on, and look after things, but then, you know, obviously, or thought that, also because it's a cafe, people leave things behind in cafes, so sometimes some of my things were confused with things that were left by the public. So there was,
why did you choose the Poetry Society to do an installation?
They did choose me, but they did offer to... There was a choice between trying to raise some money to do a project elsewhere, or immediately using this space, and it was available. At the time, curiously, I'd been wanting a space where I could, with somebody else, have an exhibition space that was ongoing, that was continually changing, that wasn't a question of putting up an exhibition and then taking it down and having another one, but you put something up and then you put something else up in relationship to that, and then something else, and then keep moving it around over a period of time. And then this was offered to me. It wasn't, because of the nature of the space, that was a memorial, that big picture. But because of the space, it wouldn't have worked in relation to that idea, to the exhibition, the ongoing exhibition idea, because it was too much out of control. But in relation, this was the withdrawal to the studio upstairs, where everything could then be very quickly installed in that space, like a sort of exhibition. It meant that it was an interesting proposition for this project, so I went with it. And I was interested, that sort of, in a way, that clash of cultures and these things that in one sense are sympathetic to each other, they both come out of the arts, but are at odds. And perhaps in a way that also came out of the Wordsworth Trust experience, because... that was a very interesting experience, but I was there at quite an unusual time, in the sense that the previous director, Robert Wolff, very sadly died sort of between me being asked to do it and me going to do the residency. And it was him who was insistent on having a contemporary art programme, because the artists of Wordsworth's day were utterly, you know, integral to that world. And he wanted to have the equivalent, they had poets in residence, and he wanted the equivalents now. That, I mean, and he was a sort of, I mean, visionary is a bit of a, I don't mean it in the sort of visionary, but he had a vision for that place. He was very strongly connected with it. And when he died, and someone, obviously, I mean, he'd been running it, I don't know for how long, but it was thrown in a bit of a quandary, and the contemporary art thing didn't quite, you know, other people didn't have that same strong, you know, that such a strong connection with it. So I'd had an experience of that in a sense, and it was not dissimilar here. So whilst I was invited to do this, it wasn't, I was kind of left to get on with, you know, it's like, it seemed really random, and I could do what, as you can see, I could draw all over, they would let me just run. It was easier in the basement than in the cafe. I had to be a bit more politic, but down here I sort of, as long as I didn't mind when things got disrupted and moved around and all that kind of stuff, then it was fine. Okay, and then maybe, I wonder how far we are through this. So then I having withdrawn upstairs, that's Rachel, see they came to stay, I sort of made more of a concerted effort to move back down into, they decided not to decorate downstairs after all. That's one of the memorials to the trousers, which then reappeared. So you had this sort of weird laying where things that, yeah, they came back to life. It was quite
cool. How long was it? Feels like a year or was it a month? Or
was it
a week?
No. How was a long time. It was sort of from, I think of it as a year resident because it
okay,
was sort of,
yeah.
But it was from actually from March through to December. And only during the week. So, and yeah.
And how often did you go up there? I mean, it's such a to me it seems like this just beautiful sort of manifestation of the process of thinking, making work, interacting. It's an ongoing live process.
Yeah.
Which is...
It was very intense, to be honest.
Were you
I mean,
there every day? Or
No. Because I was working 3 days a week, and it's only open in the week, so I was there 2 days a week.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So I was having... I sort of, every time I was there, I had to write down what I wanted to do next time, you know, otherwise I'd forget. So there was this sort of lit, it was really, it was like rapid fire. I mean, it was like, okay, that's happened, I do that. And it was, and then a whole sort of list of things to do. This happened because I made some paintings, which I consider Rome in and of themselves, because Rome needed some... You know, you can't have Rome without paintings, really. And then I needed to make a space for the paintings because there was no real space for art. You know, although as an artist I've been invited, there's no space for paintings. So that's what that is. And then I moved that, yeah. I swapped the paintings from one side. I don't know, it's too long.
I think it's quite interesting for me to see. I mean, it's very, very alive. World full of energy, this one.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see that it's not made in an art gallery or in a probably art space.
No.
One of, you know, might maybe not be possible. It's interesting that person.
This wouldn't work in a. You couldn't have done it in an art space.
Very
it would be artificial.
It's a very strong, you know, world, very dynamic, a lot of elements in it, and it works so well because it's not in a proper, let's say, art space.
Yeah, well, it allowed it to be alive. You know,
yeah.
In an art space,
it's
I know, the irony.
Art,
yeah. Yeah.
Often, always, maybe works better outside the proper gallery.
Yeah.
Proper
yeah.
Was there any kind of poetic response to it, the installation, to the project over the course of time while you were there?
What, in the set? Do you mean people writing about it?
Yeah.
No. I was pretty consistently, I mean, not ignored as such, but very much allowed to just get on. You know, people didn't. Some people ask questions, and I talk to people about it, and but they didn't really engage. It was like it really was another world, very separate. One thing I didn't mention, they do have exhibitions in the cafe, you know, of pictures. So there was, I don't know if we saw it, the exhibition that was on when I was doing this was of photographs of poets. Or they'd have paintings up there. So there's this kind of, I'm not sure that people even, I don't know really.
Did the art audience get invited in?
I'm just getting to that. I sort of stayed, I didn't for the whole time that I was there. I mean, I talked to people about it, it was open access and anyone could walk in. But I didn't advertise it. I mean, that was I found in the over there, you know, for some reason it was suddenly in a shelf. Anyway, I then staged a kind of, that was one evening when, that's it set up for someone, oops, oh shit, that didn't work, did it? Wait a minute. Well, you saw it as like this, isn't it? That was set up for an evening's event, so you could see what happened. There we go. How do I get it to play? I've got to go over here. And that's right, one of my books was then I found in this selection of books, so it had been kind of, that was in a particular part of the... Anyway, sorry. I'm going to have to. So I sort of staged this final onslaught to which the art world was invited. It was like as a kind of, you know, get the team in there moment. And this, I had a projection of all of these images was happening at the same time as that, so the history of it could be part of that event. And this was, I don't know if you can see, but that's projected under the stairs. So it wasn't a projection like that, you know, you sit and you watch it, and it overlapped with dots that were on the wall and wrapped around the architecture. So it wasn't precious in the sense, or it wasn't a separate thing. It was part of the architecture and also overlapped with what was still there. So that's an image of a red dot with the real red dots kind of thing. And different things, crisps, Classica crisps. I went to Rome again, so I got some Classica crisps from Rome. And I bought my bicycle. Actually, the whole thing I did, I mean, I live about 25 minutes cycle ride from here, and the whole thing was done by bicycle. So everything went on the back of my bike, including that bust of, you know, and if I couldn't do it by bike, I sort of didn't do it. That was an early Roman design. Let's get to the event. And then a Roma sweatshirt hanging over their sign for the final thing. That was stolen that night. Mea culpa on the spray painted onto the front window. The flags went back up. So things that I'd removed and given up on, I could put in there once and for all. And then this was a kind of event private view. I had. The theme tune from Fellini's Roma was playing, and we had Italian napkins and Prosecco and some sort of Italian food. So that's a bit like that. And then that was the exhibition. That's the poet.
Do you Do you think if you'd used Latin poetry or Italian poetry or Roman poetry, that would have bridged the made a bridge to the audience within the space?
I did things like they had where this is hung. Actually, there's a chalk board, and people wrote poetry quotes and things like that. And I wrote actually, that's quite a good idea. But I did write "This is not an invasion" on there. So I sort of had that on there, and I had other bits of text. I wrote Ovid on the wall. Perhaps that wasn't quite enough. Maybe I didn't try hard enough. It's an interesting point. Subsequently, I've read about, who was I reading about? I can't remember now. Maybe an Egyptian emperor or someone like that, who, the way in which other cultures were assimilated, imperial powers. Now, how can I describe this? Rather than sort of imposing, trying to impose a culture onto another one, actually doing it much more subtly, doing it much more subtly. So allowing an existing culture would still have their emblems as a dominant part of the system, but an imperial power would affect them in much more subtle ways. I mean, perhaps I was being, I wasn't pandering to the locals, really. I didn't do that. I did write a sort of short introduction on a wax tablet to what I was doing, and then later I did a sort of A4 printout but it was a bit weirdly framed, not weirdly, but not conventionally framed, I suppose, and then put that in the vitrine amongst other notices. So, yeah. That's an